Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today is going to be an open mic day. I did not schedule a guest today, so you have an opportunity to call in, should you so desire, at any time during this hour. The telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Remember, this is an open mic hour, so you can call in at any time. Now, I've got all kinds of things that I'm going to want to share with you today. And again, one of the things that I thoroughly enjoy doing is lighting up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Now, today I'd like to talk to you a little bit about your gardens. Yes, yes, with all of this wonderful sunshine. Probably going to want to share some things with you that I found out about regarding ants and other things, because I was talking with a friend of mine who is just having a terrible time with those creepy little critters that come in. You know, they start off with their little searchy ants, and then they have those others that follow in line, and before you know it, my goodness, you will have thousands of them in your house. But anyway, there's a simple cure for that, so we'll be talking about that and some other odds and ends. But I wanted to start off this afternoon with a delightful, delightful story. And it is, well, it was sent to me by Michael, and this is what it was. It's called The Parable of Brother Leo. And there's an old legend that tells of a French monastery that was very well known throughout Europe because of the extraordinary leadership of a man who was known only as Brother Leo. Now, there were several monks that decided they were going to make a pilgrimage to visit Brother Leo because they wanted to learn from him. Well, they start on the pilgrimage, and almost immediately, guess what happened? Yes, they started to bicker among each other. This one didn't want to do this chore. No, somebody else should do that. So there was all of this pandemonium that went on with all of this little petty stuff. On the third day of the pilgrimage, they happened to meet another monk who was also going to the monastery that had the renowned Brother Leo. Now, this particular monk never complained, never shirked a duty. Whenever the other monks were fighting over a chore, he would very, very kindly and gracefully volunteer to do it all by himself. Now, by the time they were just about at the monastery, it was the very last day, the other monks were following his example. And everything was going well. The bickering had stopped because of this man that had joined them. Now, when they got to the monastery, they wanted to meet Brother Leo. The whole group of them were so excited. Of course, the man who had opened up the gates of the monastery to them, after he had found out why they were there, he just laughed so heartily. He said, "But Brother Leo is right among you," pointing to the man who had joined them late in the trip. Now, the story is a significant one because I feel it shows the power of one individual. Now, what Michael said in his email to me, he said, many people seek leadership positions, not so much for what they can do for others, but for what the position can do for them. They want the status, the connections, whatever perks or further advantages in the future may be available to them. As a result, they do service primarily as an investment, a way to build an impressive resume. And Michael said, when I heard about this parable about Brother Leo, I thought, what a marvelous model for leadership. He said, so many leaders are more preoccupied with serving than being followed, or at least that's the way it should be. They should be concerned with giving rather than getting, with doing rather than demanding. That's leadership, based on example, not command. It's called servant leadership. And then Michael, because of the political times that we're going through, he said, can you imagine how much better things would be if more politicians, educators, and business executives saw themselves as servant leaders? When I read this, I thought, gee, this would be a great thing to share on the air. And I have to tell you that I have been receiving a lot of material regarding ethics in business. And when I thought about the parable of Brother Leo and the material that I've been receiving regarding ethics, they seem to go hand in hand. And any time someone, you, me, anyone, any time we are willing to walk the walk, we don't necessarily have to talk the talk, do we? We will be there. We will be upfront. We will be honest. We won't play games. And we do lead by example. And that is so important to remember. None of us in life are perfect. We are all going to have our ups and downs, and we're all going to go through periods where we make mistakes. The key is to have that integrity, to be about knowing what it is that we need to do and do it to the best of our capacity. And when you do that, somehow or another, things do work out. Now, I know there may be some of you saying, yep, Donna, they work out sometimes and not always the best. Have you ever noticed those people that for every good comment you make, they may have 5,010 negative ones to come up with this? Well, that's true. You're always going to have people out there in the world that are going to be your crooks, your shysters, your murderers. You're going to have this in life. That just seems to be a part of the human condition. The key is, that as individuals, if we set the standard ourselves and we provide the example, then it gives example to others. I was talking with someone not too long ago about some of the things that were going on in the educational system. And this was a point that was brought up to me by an individual that performs at schools. And they said, there's just a little bit of something that I've noticed through the years. There's an expectation that kids are supposed to behave, but lots of times I see the adults around them not doing such a good job. And as a performer, he happened to go in and he was looking at a bunch of the teachers and people in administrative positionings that were also attending the performance. And he said, everyone looked so sloppy. It was as if the adults had no sense of pride in themselves as professionals. And when you look at the kids, he said, how can the kids emulate what they do not recognize? So we need to keep that in mind. If we are someone that's out looking for a job, how are we representing ourselves? Perhaps I've mentioned it on the show before, but I know of someone in banking that did interviews of I don't know how many dozens of people. And this woman said to me, Donna, I had all of these people coming in for these interviews. They looked like they had just come out of Bum's Row. Their hair wasn't combed. They didn't look like they had taken a bath. They had lousy posture. It's as if they had no sense of pride. And she said, in my business, I can't have people with rings in their nose and their toes and in their ears. They need to realize this is a business. Now, I bring that up because every situation is different. But you have to ask yourself the question, and this has to be a personal question. How do I want to represent myself? How do I want people to perceive me when I come in contact with them? What is it that I can do that'll make a statement that speaks itself so clearly and loudly? Other people will say, boy, this represents this individual. I really can recommend this person for this, that, thus, or so. So I come back to Brother Leo. He didn't wave any banners. He just did what needed to be done, and others followed the example. If you're in a business and you have integrity, that's important. I was talking with someone yesterday, a client, who when she went into her boss's office, said she was appalled to find that the boss wasn't doing anything with business. She said it looked like he had some kind of a pornographic site. At other times, she's found her boss playing solitaire. And this is a man that goes out to his employees and tells them that the business is doing so badly. Well, if the boss is acting that way, how do you expect your employees to act? How can you expect your employees to have respect for you? Now, this may sound rather simplistic, but it's not really. Little things make a difference. They really do. And sometimes we have things called to our attention by people, by the environments that we're in. So it's always important to remember that if you want success in life, nobody's going to give you a guarantee that it's going to happen exactly the way that you want it. But if you can understand that your success and who you are as an individual can speak so loudly, you, like Brother Leo, won't have to wave a flag to make a statement. You won't have to call people's attention to who you are because they'll recognize you. They will know you, and they'll be pleased to know you because you're a person of example, not just talk. Anyway, I want to thank Michael for sending that to me because I think it's a fabulous story. That's the parable of Brother Leo. Donna Sebo here. This is an open mic day, and if you'd like to chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227 or Canadians 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, if you're a first-time listener and you've never had the opportunity to call in before, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me. Let me do my thing. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anyone, anything that you like. Animal, vegetable, mineral, doesn't make any difference. Remember, I'm an information resource, and this is your opportunity to take advantage of it. I came across some information that I thought was very important. Conversation about environment is going on all the time in so many different sectors of life. Why? Because we have become aware that what we do to our environment, if it's going to poison our environment, it will eventually poison us. If it gets into the water table, it's going to affect us and every living thing that takes in that water. Well, I wanted to give you some information regarding medications. Now, the state of Virginia, a number of years ago, passed a ruling regarding this, but this is something that I thought I would share with you. If you have drugs, this is about storage and disposal. You need to put drugs in a box on a closet shelf. Now, Paul Doering of the University of Florida College of Pharmacy is giving this information. He said that will help keep medications out of the heat and humidity in the bathroom. Now, who would have thought of that? But it does affect it, even though they might be in containers. And it also keeps it out of the hands of kids. Many people I know that have children have a way of locking them up or putting something in a place it's very, very difficult to access, especially if you have children around. And also, you have to keep in mind, you want to keep it away from pets. Don't keep it in lower cabinets where it's easy for animals to get to it. And while you're at it, get rid of any expired or leftover medications. If you're like me, you don't take a whole bunch of stuff, so you might forget to look at a bottle that something has expired, and the potency may be affected. Also, something you need to remember is sometimes there is enough of a chemical alteration if a medication is old that it will not do the job it's supposed to do as you would expect it to. And in some instances, it could be toxic for you. So you want to get rid of expired or leftover medications. Now, you don't want to self-medicate with an old prescription. Now, this is something that I know for a fact. Traces of pharmacological products have been detected in groundwater. Germany was one of the first countries that did the tests on this, and they were appalled to find out how much of narcotics were in their water. If there was a drug raid, people would flush their drugs down the toilet. It automatically went out through the sewer system and into rivers. And so this was something that they were not aware of, and they, in their sewage processing, they didn't have the filtering system to handle this. So this is something that needs to be paid attention to. Do not flush your expired medication. Don't just put it down the toilet. It's going into our groundwater, folks. So if your pharmacy has a take-back program, and you need to call them to find out if they do, they'll take your old medications and they'll do proper disposal of them. And also something that you can do is that you can crush any expired medication and mix it with coffee grounds in a sealed plastic bag and then toss them. Now that's going to put them, this was recommended, but it's going to put them into garbage. And so if it's in a plastic bag, it could be there for a gazillion years, but it's not as likely to get into the water supply. And there's no danger in particular of someone ingesting them. Nobody's going to be scooping up coffee grounds to see how they taste. So it's just something that you can look at these different options. I feel they're very worthy. I know how some of my animals have been affected over the years because of pollutants that have been in the environment. We found pollutants had infected and affected critically one of our animals, and it was from exterminators being out and spraying around the house. And even though I'd be very careful to put the water up, one of our animals ended up ingesting the poisons that were sprayed on the ground, even though they dried. Because here in the Pacific Northwest, sometimes we get storms, even during the summer, and even though something has dried, that toxicity is still there. And my pets had obviously licked their paws and had ingested this. And with the animals, it doesn't take much. It really doesn't. So these are things that we need to be aware of, and I think it's just good to know about it. And fortunately, many industries are becoming more cognizant of this, and they're deciding they want to go green as well. Because we, as consumers, are taking our dollars someplace else. And, as with any business, when you become informed, you say, I want to be sure that I'm able to serve the consumer in the best way I possibly can. And that is something that many companies are starting to do, and it's a process. It's evolving. It's like anything else. Change doesn't necessarily happen overnight. Now, I want you to do something for yourself. If you've got a blank piece of paper handy, and by the way, this is Donna Sebo. We have an open mic hour today, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to do exactly that. All I'll need is your first name or initial, and then I'll give you my mental impressions. Here are the telephone numbers for you to call in to. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also 530-876-3222. Well, I'm going to make a request. If you've got a pad of paper and a pen, I want you, while you're listening to the show, to just do a quick drawing of a tree. Just draw a tree any way that you want. And then I'm going to share with you later how your drawing has a meaning. Yes. So though I can't see it, I'll be glad to share with you my insights and perspectives regarding the drawing of a tree. And, oh, by the way, if you have a dream you wanted to talk about, you can do that with me today, too. Lots of good things. I wanted to share with you Gloria Summer's poem. Her last name is appropriate because her poem is about summer, which all of us are enjoying at this moment. Each sound you hear is Mother Nature's way of telling you it's time to dance in the sun and celebrate summer again. That's Gloria Summer's. It is a marvelous time of the year. Absolutely fabulous. And as I said, I am going to be sharing some information with you about some things you can do to keep some pesky pets like, not pets, pests, P-E-S-T-S, out of your house. Yes, so I'll be sharing some of that with you. One of the things I did want to tell you about green plants are so very important. And I don't have them in every room of my house necessarily, but boy, I do have them in the kitchen area. And they are so valuable. Do you know that your indoor plants can remove up to 87% of toxic indoor air? Because their leaves absorb the lung and eye irritating pollutants 24 hours a day. And I wanted to give you some information about particular plants that really do a good job. Now, being that this is summertime, for heaven's sakes, open your windows. That is one of the healthiest things you can do for yourself. Oh, I know, doesn't get dust all over everything. But you will be healthier. Your house will have a chance to get aired out. You know, the Victorians had a good idea centuries ago because usually in the 1800s, everything was so tightly closed up. Of course, people, they'd get sick and everybody got sick. It was just awful. But as soon as the warmer temperatures would start up, the rooms would be aired out. Most of the bedding and everything would go outside because it was important. The Victorians learned that when you have fresh air, a lot of what would be considered a disease-producing environment or an unhealthy environment changes. And so they'd get busy about getting things clean. So stuff would be scrubbed down, everything would be spit-polished, and windows would be kept open. Of course, then, and I know, ladies, you wouldn't want to do this because I wouldn't want to do it, the blankets would be taken out if they weren't washed. They would be beaten, freed of all dust, mites, or whatever. Bedding at that time was different from what we have now, but they would take it out, they'd air it, they would sometimes wash it, whatever they had to do. But fresh air is good, and it cleans and does wonderful things. Well, plants are very, very good for this, you know, filtrating the air, making your life healthier. A philodendron is marvelous at erasing formaldehyde. If you've put in new flooring, you've got maybe some new drapes that have been cleaned and put up. Formaldehyde can, the fume is going to be there. And it just does absolutely wonderful, wonderful things. It cleans the fumes emitted by new plywood and upholstery fabric. I mentioned drapes. The philodendron is wonderful. Now, there is a site you can go to that will give you more information about some of the plants that you can use. Rate-redecorate.com. Excuse me, I missed a couple. It's Deco, D-E-C-O, rate, R-A-T-E, dash, redecorate.com. Now, also, you can clear away benzene with daisies or mums. That's right. Chrysanthemums work beautifully. Daisies are absolutely the greatest. And, you know, teclorexylane is absolutely unpleasant, and all you have to do is have some bamboo. Mm-hmm. It's great for being in the bathroom areas. They especially love the humidity from showers and baths. And it's great for having it near closets because it removes those vapors. If you have chlorine in your water, I know in our neck of the woods, there is chlorine that's put into the water, and it will take care of that. If you have dry cleaning, and you take your plastic bags off of your dry cleaning. By the way, you should never leave plastic bags on your items that are dry cleaned because those fumes will stay contained there. It's a good idea to hang clothes up someplace where they can air out and those fumes can dissipate. So remember, peace lilies or bamboo are wonderful plants that you can put in your environment, and bamboo is so easy to grow. And in feng shui, it's really a very positive plant to have. It's a plant for prosperity and abundance as well. Also, just remember, you can give me a buzz if you'd like to chat today. Donna Sebo here, 877-OPEN-MIC-DAY, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. Okay, did you do that drawing of a tree? I hope you did, because in your drawings, and I used to do something like this in classes when I taught, because it really gives insights. And let me give you a few points of information regarding this tree that perhaps you had to draw. And you didn't have to do anything real fancy. But let's say you drew a tree that has an animal around it or maybe on a branch somewhere. It means that you're a very gentle person. You're also a nurturer. If you have animals with your tree, that's very important. And you really have a wonderful, wonderful attitude about life. Now, did you draw a tree that had roots to it? Well, that means you're a grounded individual. You're connected very firmly with family, home, and career. You find your life rewarding, and you don't know that you have to change very much in your life. You are a happy person generally, but you like to keep things in balance. Now, what if your tree that you drew has flowers in it or fruit? You're a high achiever. You really like to go for the gusto. You like to go for the biggest and the best. If you don't have roots on a tree, then you're a person that enjoys being a free spirit. You're flexible, you're spontaneous, you thrive on change and challenges. Now, if the tree you drew had lots of leaves, you like to multitask. That's right. Leaves represent ideas, and lots of them mean that you enjoy juggling them all at once. And if you have just basically a tree trunk with branches and no leaves, you are a person that has a lot of enthusiasm. You like new interests. You really want to have some clarity with everything that you do. And maybe you drew something like a palm tree. You just had a few branches, maybe none. You're an individualist. You're a person that really likes taking care of things in the right way. Now, if you put in a lot of branches in your tree, you're an extrovert. You love interacting with other people, with the outside world, and you take things as they happen. Now, let's say you drew a tree and you had a very rounded top to the tree. You like seeing the big picture. You don't have a whole bunch of branches, but you love the big picture. You appreciate just about everything that's around you. You can see the integration, the interconnectedness of things. Now, what if you made a pointed tree, like a Christmas tree top? Well, you're very detail-oriented. You typically are a person who knows that little things do make a difference, and you're also a high achiever. You believe in earning what you want to have in your life. Well, that's just a little bit of trivia regarding a drawing. And if you did it, maybe you have a new insight into yourself that you didn't realize was available to you. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. But before I do take that break, I want to let you know who's going to be on the air with me tomorrow. Sarah Armstrong is my guest. Her marvelous, marvelous book is The Shattered Pearl. Sometimes when we're living in our own world, we're not aware of what has gone on in history and other parts of the world that affected the lives of millions of people. Well, tomorrow we'll be talking about Ghana and Idi Amin, the horrendous dictator that Sarah Armstrong, she lived through that experience with that tyrant, and we are going to hear her story about a part of the world and what happened to the people there. Also, on Friday, if you know of anyone that has had a problem with bulimia, or maybe you've got a problem with an eating disorder, well, Lori Hansen is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about a wonderful publication. It started with Pop-Tarts. Intriguing title, isn't it? Well, she battled bulimia herself, and she has come up with alternative ways to be able to win that battle. You don't need to feel like you're in it alone. This is Donna Sebo. We have an open mic afternoon, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, give me a call at 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756 for those of you in Canada, or 530-876-3222. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756 for Canadians, or direct line of 530-876-3222. I have some sad news that I just received information on. The event, the Renaissance Fair, that I've been talking to you about, that I've been so excited about participating in, due to extenuating circumstances, they are having to cancel their whole event this year. It's totally out of their control, and so they are going to have to cancel it, but it will be put on next year. So for those of you that have been hearing me in the state of Washington, there will be some other opportunities for interaction and for some wonderful events that will be coming up that I will be telling you about. But the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair has been canceled. I just was notified of this afternoon, so I wanted to pass that along to you. Anyway, give me a buzz if you want to chat, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Or 530-876-3222. How would you like to cut spending by about $500 a month? Well, I have some tips that I'd like to share with you. Of course, one of the most logical tips that you could ever have is paying off credit cards, right? Well, that's always a challenge because sometimes you say, gee whiz, I've got to use my credit card. But I think it's like anything else. Shop around for your credit cards and see which ones are going to make it possible for you to have the lowest interest possible. But the sooner you pay it off, the better. Because if you've got credit cards, as I know it happened with me in the past, that were 16-21% interest, my goodness gracious, you can never get ahead of the curve on that. So paying off your credit card is easier than you could ever imagine. One, stop charging. And then pay more than the minimum required each month until it's paid off. So if you have to take a tax return, pay it off. Whatever you can do to pay off that credit card, but put it away so you don't use it unless you know you can pay it off every single month. It's amazing how dependent we've become on these credit cards. Also, the fact that it's expected. There's a lot of places anymore that won't take checks, and they'll only take credit cards or cash. It's really an amazing situation we're evolving into. I don't think we'll ever reach the cashless society. That's my biased opinion, but that's what you need. You know, just that's going to save you a lot of money right there. Also, shop around for your auto insurance. This is something that many people have found, that when they're able to do this, it really makes a difference. I have a very dear friend that I was talking to this week. She shopped around and she said, I was able to save $200 on my monthly bills for my auto insurance. And so she did the shopping and she found a very, very good policy for herself. So you might be able to do the same thing. Also, you might want to optimize your life insurance. Life insurance premiums have been dropping dramatically in prices. And you may find a policy that you had bought years ago, if you compare it with the new rates for today, it may really save you some money. So here's an example. With a major insurance company, a guaranteed level term policy would have cost a healthy, non-smoking, 50-year-old man about $2,125 a year in 1998. Today, that same fellow now 60 years of age, would pay the same insurance company $1,385 a year for the same coverage over the next 10 years. That would save $60 a month. It makes a difference. Those little amounts of money make a difference. So also, when you're looking at insurance, what you need to be aware of is that your health counts. If you're a non-smoker, you'll be able to save points. If they do cholesterol checks on you and your cholesterol's within the range that it's supposed to be, that'll save points. If you're overweight and you trim down, that saves points. So if you're interested in reducing your premiums, get a physical checkup, and look at what you need to do to stay in shape before you apply for a new policy. Now, here is a company that you can go to get a quote. It's called AccuQuote.com, AccuQuote.com. There's a second one called LifeInsure.com. So you can go to either one, LifeInsure.com or AccuQuote.com, and find out what might work best for you. Now, by the way, just a bit of wise information. Don't cancel a policy until you have a new one. You do not want to take a chance on not having your coverage. Also, shopping for food. Boy, the best way to save money, if you eat out at restaurants a lot, keep tabs on what you're ordering. If you order fast food, you order out for pizza, do things like this. If you're trying to save money, do what a friend of mine does who is a teacher. She likes to go to some place in the world every year. And this woman, I had the best conversation with her when I was visiting with her last month. She said, it costs my husband and me anywhere from $3,000 to $10,000 to do our annual trips. So she said, I always have to make evaluations. What can I do where I make a choice about my money so that I can put the money where I want it to go, which for her is taking the travel. She said, this means more to me than anything else. I'm not one of these tourists. I don't spend $1,000 on touristy stuff bringing it home. I love to go and learn, and she's been doing this for years. Well, for a lot of people, that would be a lot of money to put out. But she said, I don't buy lattes. We don't eat out in restaurants. I look at where I put my dollars because I have a special savings account for travel, and that's what I do. She's learned how to shop, so she shops for food in ways that allow her to save money. With groceries, sometimes she will buy groceries and split those costs with neighbors that she has. But she said, I make choices about my money, and that's what you can do. And that can be, you know, something so simple as changing your bank account to a bank system where you don't have to pay fees. That could save you anywhere from $5 to $25 a month. And if you think of little things like this, and you say, gee, I could go out for dinner. It's going to cost $100 for me and whoever to go out for dinner, and that includes the tip. Then maybe instead of doing that, you fix something at home that might cost you $25, and you take that otherwise $75 and put it in the bank account for travel or for whatever else you want to do. Maybe it's that $75 goes to pay off a credit card. Instead of having a $4, $5, $6, or $10 latte, what you want to do is look at that and say, well, I think what I'll do is bring my own coffee. I will make my own special blend. Or maybe you go to the grocery store and spend $5 for a special flavoring, and you take that with you to work, and that's what you add to your coffee, so you have that special flavor and taste that you so very much enjoy. There's all kinds of ways of saving money. So whether it's phone saving, shopping around, finding out the best way to do it, another person I know to save money on phones, they went and bought phones where they pay for their usage as they go. And they did this with their teenagers. And their teenagers, they said, we were having $100, $200 telephone bills with cell phones and more. So finally what we did, we made our kids responsible and we said, we will give you an allowance and you can make a determination of how you want to spend your money. If you want to spend $10 for cell phone usage, then we're going to make you in charge of that. And this is what you do. And that's what they did with their kids. And now their kids are thoughtful about how they use the phones because they know their cell phone minutes are limited according to how much that they've purchased. There's so many ways that you can save money and do things for yourself, and being innovative is fun. Anything from using coupons, buying less expensive auto insurance, finding ways of utilizing entertainment where you can get real good deals if you like concerts, etc., find out about specials and various opportunities that you may have, like maybe volunteering to be an usher at major performances if you love opera and things like that, and you say, gee, it's not on my budget, I can't do that. Volunteer, and you can participate in some wonderful activities. It's a lot of fun to become innovative. And one time I had someone say, that's cheap thinking. Well, you're entitled to that opinion. But remember, if you, like this teacher friend of mine, has an objective, I don't think it's cheap thinking. I think it's choice thinking. It's taking what you have, utilizing it the most effective way you possibly can, knowing that abundance is yours, but you're discriminating about how you choose to use it. That is a different kind of an attitude. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Phone lines are open, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I've got a chocolate recipe when we come back from break. Also, I wanted to share with you a story that one of my clients came and talked to me about. She had an out-of-body experience, and I wanted to tell you about it. And if this is something that has happened in your life, you might find it interesting to see how we were able to help Sandy understand her particular experience. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. Don't forget, you can call up and chat with me if you like, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 also, 530-876-3222. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll
Hello,
make a difference
Dr.
for you,
Richard Petty,
as it
author,
has for
healing,
me.
Healing, meaning, and purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I don't know about you, but chocolate is one of my favorite food groups. Yum, I just love it. Now, I've got a recipe here for chocolate and banana crepes. Okay, I know. It's summertime. We want to keep our waistlines trim. Well, this is a kind of recipe that's great on a Sunday morning, or if you just want to give a special gift to yourself, or maybe you'd like to do something for that very special person in your life, or a friend, or, you know, whatever. But this is so easy to do. Now, I'm going to break the recipe down into the different ingredients. I'm going to give you a hot chocolate sauce and also the information on the crepes, the ingredients in the crepes. So let me give you this and write this all down so that you have it. You've got 3 large bananas, and you want them ripe, obviously, 3 ripe large bananas. You want 6 tablespoons of orange juice, and you want the grated rind of 1 orange. Now, fresh grated orange rind is premium. If you don't have that, then use the dried. And then you want 2 tablespoons of orange or banana-flavored liqueur. And the alcohol in this, you know, will cook out. Anyhow, what you want to do is take those ingredients, the bananas you want to peel and slice, and put them in a dish, and you mix the orange juice, the rind, and the liqueur, pour it over the bananas, and just let that set to the side. Maybe put a little bit of plastic wrap over the top of it. Anyhow, what you're then going to do, you are going to want to make your chocolate sauce. Now, these are the ingredients for the chocolate sauce. You're going to need 1 tablespoon of the finest unsweetened cocoa that you possibly can get. You want good cocoa for this. You want 2 teaspoons of cornstarch, 2 teaspoons of cornstarch. You want 3 tablespoons of milk. You can use whole or evaporated milk. You want 1.5 ounces of dark chocolate, 1.5 ounces of dark chocolate, tablespoon of butter, 1/2 cup of light corn syrup, and 1/4 teaspoon of vanilla extract. So let me read that again. A tablespoon of unsweetened cocoa, 2 teaspoons of cornstarch, 3 tablespoons of milk, 1.5 ounces of dark chocolate, 1 tablespoon of butter, 1/2 cup of light corn syrup, 1/4 teaspoon of vanilla extract. So what you're going to do with that, you're going to take your unsweetened cocoa and cornstarch, put it in a bowl, stir in the milk, whisk it until it's well blended. Then you want to break up your dark chocolate. You want to make it into pieces and place in a pan with the butter and the light corn syrup, and you heat it very gently, stirring until it's well blended. Then you add the cocoa mixture that you've had on the side, and then you bring the entire mixture together, stirring it gently over a gentle heat. You bring it to a boil. You let it simmer for a minute. Then you remove it from the heat. You stir in your vanilla extract. Now, the crepes. The crepes, this is what you're going to need. 1 cup of all-purpose flour, 1 tablespoon of unsweetened cocoa, 1 egg, room temperature, 1 teaspoon of oil, 1 1/4 cups of milk, and then you're going to need a little bit of extra oil because of making the crepes. Or you can use a nonstick cooking spray, whatever you prefer. Now, this is what you do to make the crepes. You sift your flour and your cocoa into your mixing bowl. You make a well in the center and add the egg and oil, and gradually beat in the milk to form a smooth batter. Now, you put a little bit of oil in a heavy skillet, and again, this is just the spray, I think, is better. You just spray the pan, and that way you don't have any excess, because you don't want excess oil with this. And then what you do, the pan's on medium heat until, and you put a little bit of the batter in, and you want to maybe make it like, oh, a couple of tablespoons of the batter, because it's going to be very thin. And you just swirl it around the bottom of the pan until the underside is browned, and then you flip it over and cook the other side. And then you slide the crepe right out of the pan, and you keep it warm. So if you have an oven that you can keep, you know, at a very, very warm temperature, this can go right in on a plate, and you might want to have a paper towel or a towel in there to make sure that the crepes don't dry out. You put them in between a towel. And keep them warm, and you keep doing this until all the batter has been used up. And again, this is very, very thin. You know how thin crepes are. Now, what you do to serve this, you reheat your chocolate sauce for maybe a minute or two, And then fill the crepes with the bananas, fold it in half or into triangles, and pour a little chocolate sauce on the top, and you serve it. I mean, can't you just taste that? Oh, it's so good. It's so wonderfully, wonderfully good. And it's that kind of treat. Again, it could be for a Sunday morning, maybe the special dessert for guests. But it really isn't that tough to make, and you can make your crepes ahead if you so desire. You just need to warm them up in advance. And if you're going to make them ahead, you can experiment with the crepes, and when you have it down to where you really feel like you're making them easily and readily, then put them between wax paper. Make sure they're thoroughly cooled. Put them in a plastic bag. Put them in the freezer. Then when company comes, if you wanted to use the crepes for this recipe or for something else, all you do is take them out of the freezer, let them thaw at room temperature, heat them up in the oven a little bit, or maybe just flip them into a dry pan and warm them up that way. You will have something that's wonderful. Crepes are fabulous for really wonderful meals. You can have, you know, all kinds of things you can do with this. But this chocolate and banana crepe I thought was just awesome. And just, it's so pretty on the plate. It just looks so beautiful, especially with the drizzled chocolate over it. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Well, this is Donna Siebel, and I know we're just about out of time here. I do want to remind you that tomorrow we have a wonderful guest, Sarah Armstrong. We're going to be talking about her fascinating true life story. It's The Shattered Pearl. It's about her time when she lived in Ghana, when Idi Amin, the tyrant, was in place. Also on Friday, we're going to be talking with Laurie Hansen. And it started with Pop-Tarts. We're going to be talking about the subject of bulimia. And then next week, we're going to be having some fascinating subjects. We're going to be really inspiring you. The week is going to start off with 9 life-altering lessons. Kala Ambrose is going to be my guest. You're going to be able to find out on Tuesday how you can make your life your way with Lynn Hull and Julie Mulder. And then we're going to be talking about ghosts of Hollywood. Aha, the stars will shine. Then fasten your seatbelts, A Pilot's Memoir. Bob Klein is going to be my guest next Thursday. So we have a great, great lineup of people, and I hope you'll tell your friends. And don't forget that we here at BBS, we archive the shows, so if you miss a program, well, you're going to be able to go in and replay it at your convenience. And if you have a special story, something you'd like to share with me, send me an email. Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. I love to receive the materials from you, and as I can, I share what I do receive via email. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You can have the success in your life right here, right now, by saying something to yourself, I am enough. That doesn't sound like much, but you truly have everything inside of yourself that you need to be able to make your life a success. You just need to be mindful of who you are, what you are, where you want to go, and look for those opportunities to do exactly what will bring you the most fulfillment. We'll be back here, same time, same place. Donna Siebel here, bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Siebel accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Siebel will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Siebel's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.